Welcome to the ministry of Harvest Life Church. We pray that this message would help harvest the life God has for you.
Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and I'm going to get right to it today. It says, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let's say that last part together. For the measure you use, it shall be measured back to you. It's the measure you use, it shall be measured back to you. Some years ago, before we built this building, I would go early in the morning to Starbucks to prepare and pray and do my Bible study time and everything right there. And there was a kind of a homeless guy that came in for many months, and he would come in, and I, you know, being a nice guy, and, you know, I love Jesus, and I love people, and so I would reach out to him, I'd talk to him, but no matter how much encouragement I gave him, he was always complaining. And he was a resident out at the lighthouse. And of course, we believe in the lighthouse. We sponsor the lighthouse. I know what it's like to be on the street. I was a young man who had nowhere to go, no place to stay, no food. So I know what that means. And so this man, he just wasn't getting it. How many have ever been in a place where you didn't get it? I'm not condemning the guy. He just wasn't getting it. And I honestly, just to be honest with you, I'm a human being. Amen. I'm not perfect. But there are times I'm coming in there and I'm like, oh goodness, he's here again. Right? I would be like, because, you know, nothing I'm going to say is going to help this guy. And I got work to do. You know what I mean? This is my office. And so one day he came in and, you know, I got to be honest with you. I got a little bit righteously angry because I said, boy, you're here early, because I kept going earlier, and then he would figure it out and come earlier. And I said, boy, you're here early today, as I showed up there at 5:30 one day. He said, yeah, they were getting people up to, they wanted people to volunteer to move some tables today. I'm like, I'm out of here. And I said, really? And I said, you wouldn't, so you're eating there, I know you don't like your roommate. You're complaining about it. I know you want to be on your own. I know you want your own place. I know all this. But honestly, you're getting all this, and you wouldn't help them. He said, no, man. He said, I'm out of there. And I said, let me ask you something. What do you want more than anything? He said, I want my own place. I said, have you ever had your own place? He said, yeah. And I just said to him, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as sweet as I could, I said, you know what the problem would be if you got your own place? He said, what's that? I said, you'd lose it again, just like you did before. Why is that? I said, because you would move into it. He just looked at me. I said, let me help you with something. If I was you, okay, and I was in your position, I said, I would be doing everything I can. And I gave him the message on the measure, because it's your measure. You see, life hadn't measured good to him, and he was full of focusing on all the bad that had happened, all that didn't work out on him, how it's everybody's fault. Come on, somebody. And I said, if I were you, he got really mad. And I didn't see the guy again for another 6 months, you know? But how many know I told him the truth? And I really believe the Lord led me. I didn't say it mean. I just said, this is going to keep repeating itself until you change the equation. You got to start sowing. Listen, if I were you, I would get up and I would say, thank you, Jesus, for this place. What can I give? I know I don't have money to contribute, but what can I give in this place to be a blessing? What can I do to be a blessing? And then I would lift my hands to God and I would say, God, thank you for the food I do have. Because when you thank God, it's a seed for your future, for better. I would say, thank you, God, for the roof that I have. And every time that negativity came upon me from my roommates or whatever else, I would just say, oh, God, thank you. And I'd start worshiping God. I said, but that's what I'd do. I'd plant seed for a better future. Otherwise, you're going to have the same past you have right now, and you're going to be the same person tomorrow you are today. 6 months later, he comes in, and I swear he was like a dog in a car when his owner is coming out from the store. You ever seen one of that? The dog's just like, he's all excited to see the owner come, and he was just waiting to talk to me. He said, Pastor, I sat down. I said, what's going on? 6 months later, he said, I did what you said. I said, you did? He said, yes, I did. I started giving over there. I started serving, and I just started thanking God. And you know what happened? I ended up getting this little job. Right? And so I went ahead and I gave some money to this thing and I did this and I said, thank you, God. And then guess what? I said, what? I got enough money to get in one of those pay by week rooms. I got my own room. I'm out of the lighthouse. I said, that's awesome. He said, that's not all. I'm sitting there in my room. I got no bed. I'm sitting there in this little apartment. I got no bed. I got no furniture. I got nothing. I said, what the heck did I do? I had it better at the lighthouse. And he said, and that negativity started coming back on me. He said, but I remembered what you said. And he said, and I got my measure out. And I said, oh, God, thank you. Thank you, God, for this house. Thank you, God. And I thank God. Thank you, God, for a roof over my head. And the next day, there was one of my neighbors said, hey, I got this reclining chair. It reclines down and you can sleep on it. But it's a chair during the day. I said, thank you. I said, that's incredible. He said, that's not all. So I'm lying in my chair and I'm thanking God. I got a chair in the day and I got a bed at night. And I just started thanking God for it. And then I got a table. Somebody gave me a table. And I just kept measuring. Come on, are you getting it? You know, it almost sounded like playing a country song backwards. The guy got his dog back, he got his job back, he got his wife back. Jesus said, the measure you use will be measured to you. He didn't say that there's not a lot of bad stuff out there trying to be measured to you. He didn't say that there wouldn't be stuff that life would throw at you. Come on, somebody. He was saying, you cannot afford to base your life on what you've gotten. You've got to give better seed than that. You got to give better than you've gotten if you want to get better, if you want to go somewhere, if you want to be somebody, if you want to be an overcomer. You have to recognize, I cannot control everything that happens to me, but one thing I can do, when I give the right measure, for the right reasons, to honor and glorify God, it's coming back to me. And it's coming back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaking together. Amen. Romans 12, 21, listen to it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do we do that? The measure you use will be measured back to you. Three things about your measure. First 2 weeks, we told you, your focus determines your measure, doesn't it? If you don't have the right focus, listen, when the bad gets measured to you, if you don't have the right focus, if you don't keep your Jesus focus, you won't be able to do the right thing despite what bad has happened to you. But if you've got a Jesus focus, you'll be able to do it. Right? Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to it. I love it. Verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. If you don't have the right focus, it will be hard to give the right measure. God, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this because of you. See, it's not just this masochistic thing of turning the other cheek. It's about changing the equation. Amen. It's about moving in a different spirit than what moved towards you. It's about overcoming the evil with your good. It's a seed. It's a weapon. Come on, somebody. It's a statement of where your faith is. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you not grow weary and lose heart. Amen? Because I'm focused on Jesus, I can see clearly what I need to do. And sometimes that focus just helps me to zip my lip. Because I may not know how to, I may be too mad on the inside to plant good seed yet, but I certainly don't want to plant bad seed. Slow to wrath, slow to anger, right? And I just gotta go into my happy place. And then when I speak, release heaven, not hell. Release life, not death. Release goodness, not evil. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Number two, listen to it. Your focus determines your measure. Number two, your purpose determines your measure. People who don't know their purpose, if you don't know your purpose, it's hard to do the right thing when the wrong thing's done to you. It's hard to do the right thing when the wrong, and I know this seems really simple, but the funny thing is we all go ahead and say, forget the right thing when they do what they do. We're like, it's on now, right? Because that's human. That's very human. But when you know your purpose, it's easier to do. Listen to how he says it in Proverbs 29:18. When there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. Right? But when you got a purpose, you're like, listen to it. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. I'm like, no, I can't give what they gave me. What they did is not right, but I got to make sure that my next step is right in spite of it. Amen? I cannot let what happened to me have the final word. God has got to have the final word, and I'm the one here to give God the final word because I'm his ambassador, and I'm his partner in the earth. And as far as my life goes, God's the final word. Amen? I learned from my spiritual dad and mom that it's not about me. Amen? It's about God's purpose. It's about God's will. Amen? You see, our purpose is to serve the Lord in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. And here's how we trip up. It's very human to ask why, right? When bad stuff happens, we get tripped up. We're like, I love God. Well, why did this happen, right? And sometimes we find ourselves, and can I just give you a little, I don't have time to teach on this doctrinally, but we humans spend too much time on why did this happen? And one person is comforted because they had this tragedy and they believe, well, God is sovereign. He just must have wanted me to have this. And other people are like, no, it's the devil. And I don't know what gives you comfort or what gives you help, but I just want to tell you right now, Jesus didn't spend a lot of time talking about why things happened. See, one of the things that I figured out is you got to know where to put the punctuation in life. Do you remember the man who was born blind and the disciples came to Jesus and they said, why is this man born blind? Was it him or his mother, his parents who sinned? Remember that? And Jesus said, and if you don't realize this, you don't realize that in the Aramaic and even the Greek, there's no punctuation. So the translators put the punctuation in what makes sense to them, right? And so when they put the punctuation in, they said neither his parents nor him, but that the glory of God might be done, period. And then he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. Wrong place to put the period. Take the period out and see what happens. Neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God might be done in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. Period. In other words, I'm not answering your dumb question. I find myself, I'm here to do the will of God. I don't have to ask why, I ask God, what now? I don't ask God why, I ask God, okay, what now? Because why will never point you to heaven. And you know, someday, all these doctrinal issues, the cloud's going to be pulled away, and we're going to see in fullness. We don't have to argue about it. We don't have to fight. We're going to know why, but we don't need to know why. And sometimes the greatest thing that you can do with your measure is just say, you know what? I don't know why, but here's what I'm doing about it. Life, goodness, gonna go on. Come on, gonna put it behind me. Come on, gonna get past the heartache. Come on, somebody. Gonna believe God has it. Come on, am I talking to somebody? No, that's my message. Gonna believe God has better things for me. Come on. No, I'm going to do my best with my day while I'm depressed. It's not an excuse for me to quit. No, I'm going to sow my best seed today. Come on, am I helping anybody in here, family? This is how we manifest the kingdom of God in the earth. Because what you plant will come back to you. Number three, your source determines your measure. Your source determines your measure. And I want to tell you about a young man in the Bible who had a source. How many know when you know God is your source, you won't plant out of what you received if what you received isn't the life of God. When you know God is your source, you are not cut out by what man does to you. Not forever. Come on, somebody. When God is your source, you can stand in the midst of darkness and you can do the right thing despite the circumstances and despite yourself because you know your source. Do you know your source, family, today? Come on, those of you who are online, do you know who your source is? Joseph knew who his source was. The Bible tells us that his brothers were jealous of him. And I don't know if Jacob was a bad dad. You know, we know Jacob's story. He's kind of a scoundrel, and he didn't come to God till after he started having kids. Did you know that? He didn't really find God until he wrestled with God and became the Jacob who became the Israel that we all know when God changed his name. Represents the new creation. Maybe because Joseph was his youngest, he got a little better Jacob than the other sons got. I don't know. But they did not like Joseph. They sold him into slavery. And the Bible says in Genesis 39:2, that when he came to, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian, was one of Pharaoh's officials, and the captain of the guard brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him, and the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house with his Egyptian master. I like how it says it in the King James. It says, and he was a prosperous man. He's literally in slave clothes at best on a stump being bought by another man to be his slave. And the Bible says when he has nothing, he's a prosperous man. Wow. Wow. He's a prosperous man. Why? Because Joseph had a source. His prosperity hadn't worked out yet, but he had a source. Come on, somebody. See, your source determines your measure. And so the Lord was with him. And as he lived in the house with the Egyptian master, when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. And Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household. And he entrusted his care to everything he owned. Can you imagine? He gave him the whole Ponderosa. I was just a tiny boy. I saw the end of that. I don't remember that. But anyway, from the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything in Joseph's care and with Joseph in charge. And he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Kind of subtle. But she leaves nothing for the imagination, does she? And of course, he says, no. Listen to his words. He said, with me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Right? He does the right thing, and we know what happens. A few months go by, and she gets really pushy with it. and she grabs a hold of him, and he just runs out, and she's got his robe in her hand, and then she just says that he raped her. He tried to attack her, and he goes to prison. He goes to Potiphar, and then again, it happens to him again. He raises up in the prison to the number one dude underneath the warden, and he's keeping track of all the prisoners, right? He just, come on, what's he doing? He's just putting out his measure. Come on. He just keeps measuring good. He just keeps doing his best with what he has. Come on. He just keeps believing for a better day. Bad gets measured to him again. Right? And he starts all over. He does it again. And then we all know the story, right? Two of Pharaoh's servants come in. They have a dream. He interprets the dream. He says to them, hey, when you go back to Pharaoh, would you tell him I was stolen from the Hebrew? I'm an innocent man here in prison. Please tell him about me. Tell him about me. They went back. They didn't tell him. You said, Pastor, I thought it would be measured back to. It will be measured back. But you're not the Lord of the harvest. He is. Your job is to keep measuring good no matter what. Because sometimes, see, there's a lot of pretenders out there. Come on, somebody. And God has such a big throne that he's bringing you to. He cannot let you experience quick success because he's forming you in the journey. Come on, somebody. He's forming you in the journey. It may not take the first time. Come on. It may not fully take because he's building you deeper. But I'll tell you what, Joseph learned to have joy in those moments, didn't he? I bet you it was a lot better the first day, the last day, or the second to last day he was in Potiphar's house. Come on, somebody. Than the first day he was there. He grew. Even in bondage, he grew. Things got better. He went back down, but he didn't lose his faith. He kept sowing. And then all of a sudden, things got better. Hey, I guarantee you, he was not in the worst prison hole. He wasn't where he was when he got there. Come on, somebody. And then the men went back to Pharaoh. Just what he said happened would happen. Did they remember him? They didn't remember him. He didn't get bitter. He didn't give up. And then Pharaoh had a dream. And then they remembered. And they brought him. And God used Joseph's measure, not just to save Joseph, but to save Jacob and to save his family. And I'm here to tell you, family, you are letting the devil push you around. Some of us, we're not even thinking before we react. And the devil just pours it out on us. And we go from crises to crises, overreaction to overreaction. And we wonder why we're going through all this stuff. And we just need to stop and lift our hands and be like Job and say, I will see the glory of the Lord. I will see the goodness of the Lord. In the good times, I'm going to worship him. In the bad times, I'm going to do the same. Come on, somebody. Though the fig tree will not blossom. Come on. Though there's no cattle, I will rejoice in the Lord my God, for my measure is determining my outcome. My measure is going to return it. Amen. My family, I'm telling you today that we have to recognize we are training for reigning, and your source determines your measure. Amen. Your source determines your measure. Amen. Now I want to close this service with some of these last thoughts. You enjoying this today? Have you enjoyed this series? And see, my heart is that you could understand it conceptually and not just gloss over these very familiar scriptures that we think we got, that we think we're doing, right? But we really don't got it. We don't realize that Jesus is teaching us how to bring the right spirit into the wrong world. And we're still making it all about the wrong world. And God is like, it's okay, I got you there. Come on, it's okay, I got you there. You're my ambassador. Come on, you're the one. There's nothing but death here. Okay, well, good thing I put life in you. Good thing I filled you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Good thing you've got the new creation. Good thing the word activates you. Good thing you can walk by faith and not by sight. Good thing I got you there. Good thing I put an overcomer on the job. Good thing I got a life speaker there. Good thing I got someone who knows how to give the good measure. Good thing. Sure is quiet in this church today. It's a good thing. And God is confident in the spirit he has put on the inside of you. Amen. And God will, in my darkest hour, God has gotten down. He's put his arm around me. He sent people in to comfort me. He's encouraged me. But at the end of the day, he's like, time to get up. Psst, time to get up. Psst, time to get up. Because David, I'm not going to do any more about it. I already did it. And the seed is in you. And the king is in you. And you got to let the King of Kings come out of you and change the equation. Is it easy? No, that's why you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. That's why you got to praise your God and sing to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. That's why you got to set the direction of your life. That's why you got to lift your voice to God in the middle of your house. So your neighbors think you're crazy. What is that guy shouting about? He's shouting to the Lord his God. Must be a bad day. That's right. You got to shout louder than the depression. You got to sing louder than what's trying to put you down. When you're depressed, you can't be, oh God, oh God. Eeyore doesn't get anywhere. Eeyore doesn't get anywhere. It doesn't help you. Amen? No, you're a warrior. No, you've got the weapons of your warfare. No, God has given you the armor of God. No, you've got the sword of the Spirit. No, you've got the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. No, you're an overcomer. You got to take what's in you and you got to inject it into the atmosphere. You got to shout to God with a voice of triumph. You got to praise. You got to pray, right? You can't let your emotions direct you. You got to direct your emotions. You got to direct your emotions. You got to say, no, I will bless the Lord. And it's hard at first. It's hard at first. It's hard when you start, but you just keep going until you have that note of victory on the inside of you. Come on, you keep on praying until something lifts from you and the life of God comes alive in you. You walk the floor and you speak the word of God over your life until something shifts, until something moves, and you don't give up. Listen, Paul said to Timothy, you're very important, and I'm aware of your tears. And my family, it means so much to me that my pastor cares about me, and he cares what I'm going through. It means so much to me that you care about what I'm going through. And when I'm going through hard times, that there are members of this congregation that I can go to, and they can say, I'm sorry, pastor, I'm praying for you. But Paul gave a great word to Timothy. He said, I care very much about your tears, but I got to tell you something. You can't care too much about them, Timothy. You can't. And you need to stir yourself up, brother. You need to stir yourself up. See, we're not supposed to go and give this to everybody else. You know, well, you just got to praise the Lord. People come to you. The Bible says, weep with those who weep, right? But I'm telling you that after they've wept with you, you don't need them to keep weeping. You need to remember this word, and you need someone to say, hey, we've wept. Come on, let's now do some warfare. Come on, let's get offensive with this thing. Come on, let's put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And let's start sowing good seed, planting the right heart, planting the right attitude until God brings the measure. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Listen to it. Romans 12:11, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what God wants in your life. Say it with me, not lagging in diligence. fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I want to give you this in closing, because here's the reason why we don't walk in these three things. We don't keep our focus, right? We don't remember our source. The reason is because it's found in Philippians chapter 3, and I'll close with this scripture. Listen to it. Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Watch the language. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Did you notice that wasn't one thing? One thing I do, I forget what's behind and I press towards what for. How's that one thing? You know, when we're talking about breathing, how many know that's one thing? But breathing is not one thing. Breathing is inhaling and it's exhaling. And you know why people don't remember their source? Do you know why people don't remember their focus? Do you know why they don't do that? Because they're not doing this one thing. Listen to it now. One thing I do, forgetting behind and pressing ahead. Forgetting behind and pressing ahead. When you're looking to plant your measure, to change the equation, the enemy will hit you with behind. Right? I just heard the story of a dad. And he's so sad, right? He's so sad about the dad he wasn't. And he's in his child's life, and he's always talking about the dad he wasn't. And that's how the devil keeps you tripped up. That's how the devil keeps you tripped up. I'm going to say there's not a point that you need to recognize I made a mistake. But you know, many people spend their time sorrowful over what they did wrong, but they never change it. And not because they don't necessarily want to, but because they're empowering. They're not forgetting. You see, Jesus, you either got to let Jesus be accountable for what you did, or you got to still be accountable. You got to punish yourself. You got to hold back a little bit. Oh, I deserve a little bit less. Oh, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Well, it's my fault. Sounds so spiritual. And you are disrespecting the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I paid it all. I paid it all. So David, what are you punishing yourself for? 1 second longer. I paid it all. Forget what's behind. It doesn't exist. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. David, come live with me in the future. I'm doing it right now. But I can't get it because I'm stuck there. Or I'm stuck in what they did. And the emotion comes back to me. And I'm stuck in what they did. But Paul said, one thing you need if you're going to be a person that consistently, no matter what gets dumped on you, just keeps out, right? Right? It gets dumped on you, but you just, amen? Like Jesus said to Peter, you remember it? His last time that we have recorded that he was with Peter before the ascension. Peter's like, Lord, what about this and what about that and what about this? And Jesus said, what is that to you? Listen, when bad stuff happens, let me just say to you, what is that to you? Get your eye on what I'm to do. What do I need to do? What do I need to say? How can I be a better husband? How can I change the equation? Why am I going to make it all about you? Because I got no power over you. I can make it about me and maybe actually turn the whole thing around, because with the measure I use, it's measured back to me. Come on, somebody. How many got something out of the word today?
Thank you for listening. We trust this message has blessed your life. For more sermons by Pastor David Whaley, visit us at www.harvestlifechurch.org.